From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. He's good. His mercies endure forever. Lebo shikaba tarabanit. Mama mandere. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. And we honor you. We honor you. We honor you, O God. Rebo satabara make bendere make brende. Makarabara bashitara. We thank you for Tuesday evenings like this, O God. Tuesday nights for some. Lebo shikatabara bababandere make brendere. It is you who has made us and not we of ourselves. We are your people, the scripture says, and the sheep of your pasture. Bless our time of fellowship tonight, O God. Kaborondosi. Rika barabashita barababandoro mo kebrede. Mayandere me kebrede me satabaya darara. Mondoro mo sitaka barabashita barababa. Mamanderebe, mamamanderebe, mamandere me kebrederebebe. Rasa tala barababa. Yes, Lord, I commit everyone who was tuning into your hands, O God. I pray for a light to shine in their darkness, O God. Mandorobo, take us deeper tonight. Take us deeper tonight. Mama se te bene me kabrababa. Rise te bene me kabaraba sotorobo. Reme me ke bene me shataya barabarababa barandere me kabrababa. Mandorobo sotomono monorondorobo riababa. Kayatata ma enderiye me kebrede. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. Masa tarababa kebendere me kebrede bereme. Maya sata makaya babandere me. Maya Yes, Lord, we want to go deeper tonight, a little deeper tonight, oh God, in our love for you, in our relationship with you, oh God. Makataya bandere, matatabalondoro mosoto, ye mete meke barandere mea baba, makatabara bakabra baba, ribosoto boro kere me setere mekerea, mama 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 doro. Indororo kaya satabara ba kebrebebe riba satabara baba katatatarandireme katatatamaramandireme katatatamaramarama satarama kabra baba mandireme kebenderia baraba satabara baraba baba ndara rekeberebe satabara baba ndororo resete mereme sete mereme rakabara baba rasatamarama. Let your awesome presence go, your awesome presence be with each and everyone who has tuned in, each and everyone who is going to watch, each and everyone who is listening, each and everyone who is watching. Your awesome presence, your awesome presence, oh God. Le kasa andere me andiri akabro mosete kebere bebe. Rakatata marabando ro 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 bosete. Ratatata mama tata rababanda. Rekebe sete bere bebe. Baradere me sete bebe. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Just be quiet for a few seconds tonight. Just be silent for a few seconds tonight. Yes. Yes, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, yes. We worship and we adore you. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for yet another privilege, another opportunity you've given to us to be together, to learn and to get better and to go deeper and for our love to go wider, oh God. I pray that tonight we'll have an awesome experience and that we'll not leave this service the same as we joined. Thank you for everyone, oh God, in Jesus' name. Somebody shouted, amen. Amen, amen, somebody. Wonderful. We're looking at opportunities. 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 All right. Luke chapter 15, and I want to read from verse 11. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the Bible says, his father divided unto them, that is the younger one and the older one, his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Bible says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, we're looking at the opportunity this boy had. This boy, the spirit of this boy, could be in you. Could be in somebody else. Could be in someone. Could be in your house. Could be in you. You, especially you, yeah. You young lady watching me tonight. That spirit that took this boy from his father's house and took him out and wasted his substance, wasted his life, wasted his position, wasted his status, wasted his inheritance, wasted. The meaning of prodigal is waste. Prodigal is really wasting. Not just somebody who just went away. Prodigal is like he's gone away and he's come back. No, it has wastefulness associated with it. And so you cannot understand how somebody who is so set up to be great, somebody who's so set up to have a very beautiful future, just squanders and just allows his life to just go down into the drain. You get it? There's something Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 6, where he said that, you know, if we don't abide in him, then we will not amount to much. John chapter 15 and verse 6. Let me just read that quickly. I was sharing that on Sunday, John chapter 15 and verse 6, what Jesus said about decline. He says that if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And is withered. You see clearly, this is what happened to this prodigal son. He was withered. When he disconnected himself from the branch, when he left his father's house, he withered. He became nothing. He became prodigal. Now, anybody who has the tag of wastefulness to his life, you could be a businessman, you could be a wife, you could be a Christian, you could be a pastor, you could be a son, you could be a daughter. The wasteful tag can be fixed on anyone. Anyone. The wasteful tag can be used on anyone who uses money, misuses money, misuses opportunities and resources as though they were in endless supply. That's what happens to wasteful people. They do things. They do things thinking that, you know, things are just going to be there, that opportunity is going to be there, that the resources is going to be there, that the money is going to be there, that the advantage is going to be there, that the door is always going to be open. Let me tell you, doors don't remain open forever. Any door that opens, after a while, it can take a few minutes to a couple of hours to a couple of days, but the door, if nothing at all, will close by the breeze. The wind can close the door. Do you understand? So opportunities are not in limitless amount. And so when you get an opportunity, when you get a chance, when you are in favorable times, you have to learn to appreciate them and take advantage of them. Now, in all cases, whatever wastefulness it is, whether it's resources, whether it's money, whether it's opportunities, whatever it is, wasteful people do not seem to realize what they have. Wasteful people do not seem to realize what they have. Many people do not realize what they have until they waste it. Some people don't even realize the advantage of having a mother or a father who works hard to provide for them. This man in Luke chapter 15, this man had lived his life, worked his life to provide a safe haven, to provide security for his two sons. How can just one person, just the little one, just rise up one day and just go and waste things? It's because the son didn't actually realize what was in the house. He didn't even realize what was going on. And many people don't realize what is going on in their lives. Many people don't have the vision, the sight to view precious things when it comes their way. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? And so they seem to walk away from every good opportunity and simply waste the blessings of life. Are you wasting any blessings in life? What are you wasting? What are you not taking advantage of? What are you not noticing that God has brought your way in this pandemic season to rather be able to get closer to Him and to take advantage of and do well and do better? Are you following? You see, so sometimes when people are close to something great, they do not value it. Wasteful people, one of the common signs or one of the cardinal errors about people who waste things is that they don't realize the value of that thing. They do not understand or recognize the value of it. The boy did not understand the value of living in his father's house with all the things that surrounded him. It is when he came to himself that he realized that, hey, Charlie, in my father's house, even servants, they have food enough to eat and to spare. Food enough to eat and to spare. And look at me here, eating the food that has been given to pigs. I mean, how low can you go? As a child who is set up, as a child who is positioned, as a child who has a great inheritance, as a child who comes from a very solid home, how do you find yourself out there eating the food that has been given to pigs? It is because this guy, a few chapters back, he did not recognize the value of what he had. Wasteful people are all the same. They don't appreciate, they don't see, they don't value what they have. Now, none of his many servants were mentioned. If you look at a guy, he walked away from something very, very great. Something very, very, very great. He had something in the will. You see, one of the things you can look at is that the two boys were in the will of the father, not the servants. The guy was blessed. The guy was sorted out. I mean, he didn't have to. He didn't have to try anything. He didn't have to, you know, make any move. He didn't have to do anything to get rich or to get better. There was no need. Some of you are making moves. You don't have to make such a move. I'm telling you, some of you don't have to make a move. Everything has been provided. You don't have to make a move to try and prove anything to anybody. Don't try and prove anything to anybody. You have one of the best provisions in the Father's house. Are you with me this evening? And so all the things that came together for this guy to go out and become who he became, we want to look at all of that. Now, again, you can look at a guy's life and compare it to somebody who God has blessed with a good church, a good pastor, a good mother, or a good father, or a good job, and doesn't realize how blessed he or she is. You see, sometimes people complain about the jobs they have. Some people complain about the jobs they have until they lose that job. Until they lose that job. Now, what makes people do those things? That's what we want to look at tonight. You may be in a good church with a good pastor who feeds you with the word of God. The pastor trains you and pray for you. And that's what happens around, isn't it? Most of the time, sometimes people come to churches for years. They are given opportunities. Sometimes you give them a platform to sing. Sometimes you give them a platform to shepherd a few people and to pastor a few people. And yet, you don't understand how, after a while, they just abandon all of this. They just abandon it. I mean, I was telling a few people the other day, you know, even if you look at our mission here in Ghana and the missions around, I mean, God forbid, if I was to translate into heaven right now, what do I take with me? What do I have here that I take with me? I can't take anything with me. I can't take the church buildings. I can't take all the things that by the grace of God we've been able to achieve. I can't take any of them with me. Who is in position and who is setting himself up to continue and to take over and to inherit something that they probably didn't even toil for? It is those sons who will come to the realization that I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I am not missing out. I don't miss anything. I value where I am. I value the house that God has blessed me with. I value the pastor God has given me. I value the church God has given me. It is just a matter of time. My time will come. My season will come. The will is already written. The inheritance is huge. The inheritance is big. Your heritage is you can't even count the blessings that fathers have prepared and have worked and toiled for children. Are you following? You shouldn't rush to move out and go anywhere. You get it? So you think, how can somebody who has a stage singing for years, you're singing year after year, singing year after year, on stage you sing, they clap, they cheer you and all of that, and then one day, all of a sudden, that person just fizzles out. All of a sudden. You see, somebody comes into the church, they work for years, they grow through the ranks, they become a shepherd, they become a lay minister or minister shepherd, becomes a pastor of a branch, they've been pastoring the branch for a while, and then all of a sudden they fizzle out. The reason is these people do not value what they have. They do not value the opportunities. They do not value the things that God has in store for them. But there's a problem with that. It cannot be normal. It cannot be business as usual. Do you get it? What makes people behave in this way? Why did a prodigal boy walk away from his golden position, opportunities and riches? Why do people behave like that? Why do you think people behave like that? Why will people walk away from the security of their father's home? Charlie, it's not everybody who has things. It's not everybody whose father, who even knows their father. I mean, from this part of the world, where we are positioned, many people don't know their fathers. Many fathers don't do anything for anybody. People have grown up without fathers taking care of them. Do you get it? But God brings you into a church and he gives you a pastor, he gives you a father, he gives you a home to belong. And then you toil, you work hard, you invest your money, your energy, your time for 10 years, for 9 years, for 12 years. And all of a sudden, you're out. Why do people walk away from such opportunities? Why do people walk away from such divine setups? Why? The question is, why would this prodigal boy walk away from his father's home? For what? What was the result? Nothing. Useless. Waste. I believe that there are spirits. There are spirits that take people away from their God-given position because the spirits need something to use against them. And what I believe the spirits use against this boy is the fact that the boy did not value the opportunity he had. And so the enemy now comes in. Remember the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 27, that neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And so the devil needs you to have some thoughts, some idea, some philosophy, some ideology. And then he takes advantage of that. And so the boy, in not seeing what God had set up for him, in not seeing what his father had worked hard and prepared for, the will was already written. And as long as the father lived with what he had gathered, it means that if the father lives longer, he was going to actually gather more than the little boy, the younger son, if in 2020 he had his value or whatever he was going to inherit was, let's say, $1 million. If the father lives another 5 years, with his hard work, he will acquire more. It means that the little boy's inheritance, or what he's supposed to inherit when his father is no more, the value will also go up. So staying around was just a matter of time. It's like you are staying in your father's house just waiting to get richer and richer. What happens to people like this? Why do people like this, why do people become like the prodigal son? I believe he was influenced by a devil. Let me tell you, demons are real. It is not normal. It is not normal. Because you see, when you look around, people are jealous of some people. Because you can't see what God has given to you. You don't value it. But if you were to ask somebody outside about where you are, you hear what they will tell you. That I wish I was like you. I wish I was close to the pastor. I wish I was the one who has the keys to the church. I wish I was the one who's singing for the pastor. I wish I was the one who's counting the money. I wish I was the one who's playing the keyboard. I wish I was the one who's working on this for the man of God. I wish I was. People are standing backwards, behind, a few rows behind, and they are envious and jealous, and they wish they could be in the position that some of you in front you have. Why do people behave like this? Why do people behave like that? It is because of devils. So tonight, for the few minutes we have, I want to look at wasteful spirits. Wasteful spirits. Spirits that influence people to waste their lives. People that influence pastors to waste their ministries. People, the evil spirits that influence church members to waste their lives. Spirits that influence leaders of the church to waste their lives. Spirits that influence the people of God to leave their godly heritage. Spirits that make people see being part of the kingdom of God as nothing. Spirits that make people think that they don't have anything. There's something better out there for them. There's something better out of the church for them. There are demons that waste people, that causes people to waste their lives. I want to look at them tonight. Are you excited about that? Wonderful. The first spirit that I believe allow people who don't value their position, their inheritance, their sonship and all of that to waste their time, to waste their inheritance, to waste their opportunities. The first wasteful spirit is the spirit of Belial. The spirit of Belial. Belial, spelled B-E-L-E-Y-A-H-A-L. Belial. The spirit of Belial. So what I'm teaching tonight is what influenced the prodigal son to leave his father's house. What will influence you to leave the church that God has blessed you with? What will influence you to leave the position that God has given to you and waste it? What will influence you to just walk away from your godly inheritance for what God has in store for you 5 years from now? Let me tell you, the Bible is true. And the Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And so there is no Christian who doesn't have a bright future. There is no Christian who doesn't have a bright future in the place God has positioned them. Whether it's a Shepherd House, whether it's a Greater Love, whether it's QFC, whether it's Wesleyan, whether it's whatever church there is. Once God positions you there, there is a reason and your future is only brighter. Why will you walk out and walk away? It's because of the spirit I call the spirit of Belial. Now, Belial comes from a Hebrew word which means useless, worthless, good for nothing, valueless, cheap, or vile. Cheap. Let me tell you, there are certain young girls when they have this spirit of Belial on them, they cheapen themselves, they waste themselves. Oh my God. I can't begin to talk about my experiences as a pastor of young girls who are wasting their lives because of this same spirit called Belial. This spirit is a Hebrew word, you know, that is translated useless. There are many girls in the church who render themselves useless. Worthless. You are out there trying to live your life, but you are living your life and you become worthless. You become good for nothing. That's why nobody is choosing you and nobody is going to choose you. As long as you are away from your father's house, nobody is going to prefer you. Nobody is going to favor you. Nobody is going to choose you. You go from one wastefulness to the other. By the time you say Jack Robinson, you are gone. For some people, they don't even recover. They die. The spirit of Belial is what makes you valueless. It makes you cheap. Now, growing up in the area where I was growing up in West Africa, in Ghana, I don't know. I'm sure you probably have something like that around where you live. There was a young lady who they used to call her a restaurant plate. Restaurant plate. I'm sure you understand what I mean by a restaurant plate. You see, the concept of a restaurant plate is a plate that is used to serve many, many customers. This young lady was the restaurant plate in our area. It means that this young lady was touched by almost every young man in the neighborhood. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people are like that. Some people are like restaurant plates. Your breast is a simple restaurant plate. Your body is just useless. Your body is worthless. What God has given to you to cover and to save and to hold on to is just vile. It's cheap. It's just thrown out there. It's just taking advantage. It's like, that's it. That's it. Anybody can just come around and help themselves. Good for nothing. In your area, you call yourself a Christian lady. In your area, how do people see you? How do the people see you? This car comes, that car comes, this car comes, that car comes. Not even a good car. It's a taxi. They don't even have their own car. Good for nothing. It is this spirit that makes people leave. It is this people, you call them what? Bicycle what? Shorty, they call it what? They call them something. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Many people waste their lives in the church. In the church. I'm not talking about that girl who's your neighbor. I'm talking about Christian sisters and Christian brothers. This is an evil spirit. This is an evil spirit. Sometimes God will elevate you. Sometimes God will take you further. He will take you higher. And then bless you. Give you great opportunities to do business, to earn lots of money, to have a good chance in ministry. Yet, this person or this individual does not take advantage of what God has given him. So the spirit of Belial is the first wasteful spirit, like a doorknob. Okay, Sherwin. Where's Calvin? Forgiveness and mercy. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. You get it. So it is evil spirits. They fall under a category called wasteful spirits. And they are the ones that influence people to cheapen their heritage. The little boy cheapened his heritage. He chipped ghetto bicycle. Okay. Ghetto bicycle. Everybody takes a ride. All right. You guys seem to understand what I'm talking about. That's good. Ghetto bicycle. All right. We're going on. So it is these demons that make people not value what they have. The question to you tonight is, what has God given to you that you are wasting? It's a good question. What position has God placed you that you are not that you have not even seen the value of? What money has God given to you, brought into your hands that you are not appreciating, that you are not using it for what He wants you to use it for? What opportunity, what position, what heritage, what inheritance are you wasting? So that's the first spirit. The first spirit is the spirit of Belial. It leads you to squander all opportunities. It uses you to squander all opportunities to do well and leaves you useless and worthless. Useless and worthless. Useless and worthless. The spirit of Belial makes you squander all your opportunities and makes you useless and worthless. You don't want to be useless and worthless, do you? I pray that that spirit does not have any place in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The next spirit that causes people to waste their opportunities, like the prodigal son, is the spirit of greed. The spirit of greed. So spirit number one is Belial, which makes people waste they like good for nothing, become good for nothing. That is, no matter whatever they have, when the spirit possesses them, when the spirit influences them, it turns them from somebody who once lived in a rich house, a rich home, seems to have everything. It turns him to somebody who's out there begging and begging and asking for even food to eat. It is the spirit of Belial that makes people descend like that into a very cheap position. The second spirit is the spirit of greed. Now, the spirit of greed is here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. The spirit of greed. How does the spirit of greed affect people? Now, when somebody is greedy, that person is never satisfied with what they have. And once you are not satisfied with what you have, you are always trying to look for something better, something higher, something greater. And so the greed does not allow you to appreciate some few things. Greed doesn't allow you to appreciate some great opportunities. You see, once you have the spirit of greed, nothing good, nothing valuable is appreciated, because your eyes are on more. Your eyes are on more. Your eyes are on out there. The guy was in the house, and then there's a spirit that was telling him, go out there. There's something better out there for you. There's something greater out there for you. And when he left his father's house, he seemed to have walked in what he thought was better, until he came to the point where he was eating with pigs. Are you following? And so when you are greedy, you are never satisfied with what you have. You are never satisfied with opportunities and real situations that lie before you. He was not satisfied with the real situation that he was a rich boy. He didn't have to work for it in his life. He was rich. His father had worked tirelessly and had acquired riches, had acquired inheritance for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the boy didn't have to do what he did. He was not supposed to end where he ended, begging for food, eating the food given to pigs. How low? Because he was greedy. The spirit of greed. The spirit of greed. Are you content? Are you content? Do you have the spirit of contentment? If you don't have the spirit of contentment, then there's something wrong there. You need to ask God for help, because it is greed that doesn't make you appreciate the few things you have, thinking that you can get more, that you need more, that it is more that can make you happy. And then it's just up, you're going up there, until you find yourself in muddy waters. And so the Bible says that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. It means that there is something, there's a mechanism that does not seem to be made okay, no matter whatever comes your way. And so when you have the spirit of greed in your life, you don't see your heritage. You don't see your inheritance. You don't see how great God has positioned you. You see, the devil is a good example of somebody who was being influenced by the spirit of greed. How can Satan? The Bible says he's what? He's the son of the morning. Lucifer, son of the morning. I mean, if Satan sings in heaven, I mean, I'm sure all of us know that he was the archangel for the choir. When Satan is arrayed, he was created so glorious. I mean, he was great. From some of the things that we hear, he was probably the head of the archangels. It was Lucifer, it was Gabriel, and it's Michael. Probably he had a higher position than both Michael and Gabriel in his days. But Lucifer wasn't happy with his position. That is what made... So Lucifer now has become useless, has become cheap, has wasted his opportunity, has wasted... If God was ever going to retire, maybe Lucifer would have been the person to take over. But he never even waited for that. He decided to go after the throne of God. How blasphemous. How abominable. To go after the throne, the judgment seat, the mercy seat, the seat that God Almighty himself, the maker of heaven and earth, Jehovah Elohim, El Shaddai and Adonai, the seat that he sits on, because of greed, because of the lack of the spirit of contentment, Satan said, I want to be like him. I want to sit on that throne. What are you desiring that you don't have to desire? What are you looking forward to that you don't necessarily have to desire to look forward to it? What are you thinking? What is making you think that out there, there's something better out there? What is making you think that your current state is not enough, that what you have is not all, that there's something greater out there? What is influencing your thoughts? What is influencing your heart? What is influencing your mind? What to make somebody like Lucifer lose his place? Oh my God. The spirit of greed. You're not satisfied. You're not happy. You want some more. You want some more. You want some more. You want some more. You are not satisfied. You are not satisfied. You are not satisfied. If you are listening to me tonight and you are not satisfied with who you are and where God has positioned you, you need to ask for forgiveness tonight, because that lack of satisfaction is going to take you off. No matter who you are, as you are watching and you are listening to me tonight, you must pray for the spirit of satisfaction at every stage of your life. Let God himself, let God alone take you further. Let him take you higher. Don't be greedy to lose what you have, to despise what you have, and want to become something else that God has not given to you. It's very, very fantastic that if you look at what the father said to the senior brother, the father told the senior brother when he was not happy, when he was coming from the farm, coming from whatever he was taking care of, and he approached the house, and one of the servants told him what was going on, and he was so angry. And the father, you know, came to him and he was talking to him. One of the things we realize in terms of the scope, the magnitude of the riches that was even left behind when the younger son left, was that the father told the senior brother that all that I have is yours. It was out of what the senior brother even owned that the ring, the rope, the fattest calf, it was out of what the senior brother had. That's what was. This little boy even came. So it's that the little boy came to even enjoy some of the senior brother's inheritance. That's why he wasn't happy. It tells you that, Charlie, the guy had it all. The guy had it all. The guy had it all. My brother, my sister, ministry, God has called you. He's positioned you somewhere in ministry, whichever region, whichever country, how many people you have. You may be renting a place. You may have your building. You may have a few people. Don't worry. Be content. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't be greedy. Do not be greedy. Do not be greedy, because the greediness will take you off. The devil will take advantage of the greedy spirit and let you go out there. You see, sometimes you even have some attention. That is enough. But you may want to have more attention. So you say, you know what? Let me just go out there and get more attention. And you end up becoming somebody like the prodigal son. The spirit of greed. Satan is the one who misused his inheritance because he was greedy. Even in 2 Kings, we hear of a guy called Gehazi. Gehazi, my God. You see, I feel in my spirit that God is talking to somebody tonight. God is talking to a few people tonight. Yeah? That you don't have an idea what God has set up for you. Don't be in a hurry. Don't walk out. Don't walk off. There are a few cases that are very sad. People who have walked out, they've walked off, they've walked away from something very, very great. It is because they did not appreciate, they did not see the value of what God had given them. It's a wasteful spirit that has influenced them to walk away. Look at Gehazi. 2 Kings chapter 5. You see, young lady, it's not everybody who's married. It's not everybody who's married and have children like you do. Be content. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know, if you look at anointing, if you look at inheritance in the Bible or from the Bible's point of view, we studied the prophet Elijah when he was going to be taken away from the earth. The Bible says that Elisha requested for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. When you read the account, that is what has given rise to the doctrine, the teaching that we all believe in, that anointing transfers. Anointing can be passed on. Anointing is like inheritance. When the father has an anointing, it is very, very likely that when the children position themselves properly, that the anointing upon the father will pass on to the sons. That's why it's very important when you're a man of God to have a spiritual father with a great anointing upon his life, so that the anointing will pass on to you. Now, Elisha walked with Elijah and asked or requested for a double portion of his spirit. Bible says Elijah said it was a very difficult thing he had asked for. But if you study the story, you realize that even there were some the 50 prophets in a prophetic school who even told Elisha whether he knows his father is going to be taken away. And then he told them that they shouldn't worry me, he knows what is going on. Now, nobody was privileged to work with Elijah to even ask for his anointing, but Elisha was set up, was destined, was positioned like this prodigal son for greatness. When Elisha joined the ministry of Elijah, he never knew that one day Elijah would have been taken away and that he would be in a position to request for a double portion of his spirit. Is somebody listening to me tonight? You don't know what is in store for you tomorrow. You don't know what is in store for you in 2021. In 2019, we didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic in 2020. To just use that as an example. So just as unfortunate things happen and unfortunate things come our way, good things and even many good things are also destined to come our way. Because you are a child of the King. You are called and anointed by God. It is not possible. That your future is destruction. It is not possible that your future is dark. It is not possible that your future is miserable. Child of God, servant of God, minister of God, it is not possible. It is not possible that your tomorrow is bleak. It is not. I prophesy that your tomorrow is brighter than you can even imagine. And so when Elisha joined Elijah's ministry, and then he began to serve, he got closer to Elijah. And Elijah took him on a journey. And as they were on a journey, then Elijah said, you know what? Don't follow me. Go back. And he said, I won't go back. And the Spirit of the Lord, you see, because of Elisha's position, he even sensed that the man was going to leave. How did he know? Because he was close. How was he able to ask Elijah for a double portion? Because of his position. That he valued and that he faithfully executed. He faithfully executed his mandate as the servant of Elijah. And we all know what happened. Elijah, by the grace of God, when he was taken up into heaven, he dropped his mantle and it fell on Elisha. Elijah used the mantle of Elijah and he crossed the river Jordan back. Now, Elisha had a servant called Gehazi. Now, if the anointing from Elijah fell on Elijah, if you count the miracles that he was able to, the number of miracles in his ministry, you count 16 miracles in the ministry of Elijah. Elisha got a double portion of his anointing. Elisha was also in his ministry. You can count 32 miracles. The next guy who was serving Elisha was Gehazi. Gehazi was also positioned, you know, so if it's double, then from Elisha to Gehazi, who was a servant of Elisha, it would have been maybe quadrupled anointing, which means it would have been 34 by 4, which would have been what? 128 miracles, probably. Gehazi was positioned for greatness. 2 Kings would have been written with the name Gehazi in it. Miracle ministry. Prophetic great anointing from Elijah to Elisha to Gehazi. By the time it gets to Gehazi, you see the transfer of the Spirit has been modified and has been enhanced. Oh my God, what a heritage. But look at what Gehazi did because of the spirit of greed. When Naaman the Syrian, I'm finishing, I'm rounding up. When Naaman the Syrian came to Elisha for a miracle, the Bible says that, you know, the way Naaman even behaved, the prophet was not even interested in, you know, taking anything from him. So Naaman was healed, and then he tried to present Elisha with some gift. Elisha said, no, I don't want anything. Just go with whatever you have. Whilst Naaman the Syrian was going away with the gift that he brought from Syria, Gehazi, in the presence of Elisha, thought that, what is this man up to? Why will this prophet refuse this gold and this silver and this all these gifts that this man had brought? Why would he refuse it? You see, Elisha was very content with his life and with his ministry. Elisha knew that what Naaman was going to give him wouldn't change anything because he was already positioned. He was already satisfied with what God had provided for him. So Naaman, because of the spirit of greed, followed Gehazi because of the spirit of greed, followed Naaman. And he went to tell him that my master says he's changed his mind. Just give him a few things. Naaman said, oh, take whatever you want. Gehazi received whatever he took from Naaman and he went home to hide it. Wiped his mouth, went to Elisha again to continue serving in his ministry. Then Elisha questioned him and he said, you know what? My spirit went out with you. What have you done, Gehazi? What have you done? You don't need Naaman the Syrian's goods. Christian sister, you don't need that young man's money. Christian sister, you don't need to go out with that guy. Christian brother, you don't need to behave like that. You don't need to approach that. Young man, man in the ministry, you don't need to do business. You don't need to do business. God has called you. He will take care of you. Believe God. Believe God. Don't think that God has called you and therefore you have to do something on the side, which is actually pulling you away from your inheritance, pulling you away from anointing, pulling you away from success in ministry. Gehazi wasn't satisfied. He went for some things, some natural things from Naaman the Syrian. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, as I close, verse 27, Elisha said, "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. What will make somebody who was positioned for a quadruple anointing? Probably. What will make him leave the church, leave the ministry with leprosy? Why was somebody who was positioned, was raised, trained to become a man of God, leave the presence of God, leave the ministry with a curse? And there are many, many sons. There are many, many, many young boys. There are many, many people who we have trained, who have left and have gone out there thinking that they are doing well, thinking that they are okay. You left with a curse. Because with you, you thought that there was something out there. You want to disgrace the ministry and think that where you were wasn't good. You let's wait and let's see. The spirit of greed is what drives a young man, drives a son, drives somebody who is loaded and surrounded with inheritance and great opportunities to waste it, to walk away and waste such a resource. I pray for you tonight. I pray for you tonight, my sister. I pray for you tonight, my brother, that you will not waste your godly inheritance, that you will not waste your godly position, that you will not allow the spirit of greed, to destroy your precious life. You don't know what you're going to get tomorrow. You don't know what you are going to get tomorrow. You don't know. With man, it is impossible, Gabriel told Mary. But with God, all things are possible. I pray for you. The Lord deliver you from greed. The Lord deliver you from the demons and the spirits that are influencing you, that are inducing you to walk away from a great place and a great opportunity and a great position to be anointed for God and to be raised to become a successful person, a successful child of God. Father, I pray for your people. I ask, oh God, that you deliver them from wasteful spirits, spirits that waste inheritance, spirits that waste resources, spirits that waste positions, spirits that waste great opportunities and great advantages. I pray that, Lord, you deliver them. Let there be a deliverance tonight. Let there be a deliverance tonight. Let every yoke be broken. Let every chain be loosed over the lives of your people. Let them not walk into destruction because of greed. Spirit of greed, I speak to you. Spirit of Belial, I speak to you. Leave the people of God alone tonight in the name of Jesus. Be free, be loose, be set free because of the anointing. Every yoke be broken of your life. Every yoke be broken in your life. Every yoke be taken off your neck. You are not a servant to the spirit of greed any longer from tonight. You are not a slave to the spirit of Belial, to be vile and to be cheap and to be useless. You are precious. You are the apple of his eye. And you are a child of God. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Your inheritance, your heritage is greater than you can even imagine. Father, thank you for your people. Bless them. Thank you for a bright future and thank you for a bright tomorrow. I give you praise for what you've shared with us tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Wow. God bless you. If you're listening to me, you're not saved, you're not born again, you're going to give your heart to Jesus. Repeat this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I accept Jesus tonight as my Lord and my personal Savior. And I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. I've been saved from hell, and my name is in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.